going to go to Colossians chapter 1. Well, I thought it'd be wonderful to look at some great truths concerning the renewed mind, something that we are very familiar with. The renewed mind is something that is not a one-time action. As we know, salvation is a one-time action. But the renewed mind is a continual present process. From the time we get born again to the time of the return of Christ or until we take our last breath, it's constantly something that we as believers are to do. There's no remote control. There's no automatic pilot. There's nobody doing it for you. God can help us. People can help us, but we are, it's something that we're supposed to do. And as you know, before we got born again of God's Spirit, we were under the, actually the rulership of the God of this world, the devil. He literally owned us. And he still owns a lot of people. But when we got born again, our ownership changed. We were purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Our ownership changed to being God's property. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, great scripture here. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath, past tense, delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We were, as it says here, verse 13, God has delivered us. The word delivered could also be translated as rescued. And one of the translations, according to usage, has this as power of darkness, says operative influences of darkness. It's an operative influence. It's something that influences you and is trying to do something. Like, there's a lot of operative influences on our lives. And we were definitely, before we got born again, definitely influenced by what goes on in the world. How many kids today are considering trying to be a transgender versus 50 years ago? 50 years ago, there wasn't this big, powerful influence trying to go on. All of a sudden, it's being influenced, and all of a sudden, kids are like, oh, yeah, maybe I am. Or homosexuality, or the new drug of the day, or whatever. It's an influence from the world, and people fall into that trap. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. So Jesus Christ is the one that did the sacrificing for us. As we know, salvation is a gift. All you have to do is confess Jesus, confess with our mouth that Jesus is our Lord, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and we have eternal life. And it's a gift, as we know. It's not something we have to work for. It's not something we can even try to earn. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, very familiar to us, or by grace, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, salvation is a gift. It's something we don't work for. And I know a lot of unknowledgeable Christians think, or people think, that you have to work to become a Christian. You have to work to get saved. And then they think also automatically you're changed. You're all of a sudden now you're going to be good, think good, you're going to do good. You kind of have an opposite. The salvation is the free part. How you live after that is the work part. They got to flip-flop. The mind doesn't change right after we get born again. We all can attest to that. the mind sometimes doesn't even want to change after we beat it. It's a change. the mind does, you know, nothing changed in the new birth immediately. It doesn't start changing until we start putting on God's word. Another verse, a familiar verse, Romans chapter 12. We are the ones that are in charge of our own brains. God has given mankind freedom of will to choose, to believe and think and do whatever person wants to do. He wants us to do his will, but he's given us the freedom of choice to do whatever. Remember Jesus Christ's prayer? They call it the Lord's Prayer. Part of it is, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the reason that was a prayer is because it doesn't automatically happen. Those who are in heaven, like the angels and all those ministering spirits, they are doing God's will. So there's no need for prayer because they're already doing it. But those of us on earth, a little different story. So the prayer is that God's will would be done on earth just like it is in heaven. So did Susan go outside?
I think so.
Oh. Chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech or lovingly beg or ask you, therefore, by the brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or logical service. When we realize all that God has done for us to get us to a point of salvation and giving us eternal life, there is supposed to be a reciprocating thank you. A reciprocating, I'm so thankful, I just want to serve you type of thing. It's our logical service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's a great verse to understand. I'll read it again. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, and the way we do it is by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the word renewing, I meant to check it, and I couldn't find it. I didn't have the time to find it correctly. But in the Greek, it's the present tense, continuous action. It's not a one-time shot. As I said earlier, it's a continuous present tense action, that word to take. So as we start learning God's word and putting it on, and we're going through that process, our lives become very blessed. As we say, nah, I don't want to do that anymore, our lives fall apart. You know, they no longer have the greatness of God's word in them. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. God wants us to work with our brains and our thinking to think his thoughts, his word. The salvation is the easy part. It's the free part. It's the eternal part. The renewing of the mind is a continuous thing while we're on earth. I don't know what's going on when we get to heaven. We'll have perfect bodies. I don't think there's not going to be any evil, so not like you got to keep casting it out. And there's no evil influences. But for today, tomorrow, and all the rest of the days we're breathing on this earth, there's a little time to work with our brains. Chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine the privilege it is to have the same thoughts that Jesus Christ thought? Just wild. And God wants us to, the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, to be in us. That's amazing. We want to be like-minded with anybody. He's a good one to latch on to. I'll think what I'm having, what he's having. So that's pretty wild. Philippians chapter 4, being we're in the neighborhood. Verse 8, very familiar verse of scripture again. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have heard, or have both learned and received, and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Paul was doing this, and we were to do it as well. And as we do this, God of peace will be with us, as well as it was with him. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. It is easy to have the tendency to think that our brains will automatically think God's word. And sometimes, yes, they do. But we live in a world that is just so devilish. And it seems like it's totally upside down right now. It's always been upside down because the devil's running it. But now it's very obvious, even to people who don't know anything about the Bible, are saying, this is really weird. It is. It's a weird time. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Of course, the urgency of God and the things of God are never based on what the devil's doing. They're always based on what he is doing and not what the devil's doing. So Galatians chapter 4, verse 19 says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. We have Christ in us, get that when we get born again. But this is referring to Christ being formed in us. And that's in the renewed mind. You know, what Paul was saying is that he's going to work hard, continue to work hard until Christ is formed in you, until you're walking on your own and able to carry out the word of God without Paul holding them up every day to keep them blessed and in the right path. And he was willing to, you know, remember Dr. Will saying, allow people to walk on your shoe, on your feet, until they can walk on their own 2 feet. We do that with our babies, you know, when we have babies, our grandbabies. Nobody's got great kids. Grandbabies yet, right? That'll happen. But we help them to learn how to walk. And Paul was saying, you know, I'm going to travail in birth again until Christ is formed in you guys. Well, the word's really living in your heart so that you can walk victoriously. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. It takes work, and as we know, it takes a lot of work to constantly keep changing our brain to something that God's word says. Remember, there was something that bothered Susan for many years, and it was just a genetic thing, the way her brain worked, and, you know, she just fought it and fought it and fought it, and I kept saying, you just got to keep saying what the word says on this day after day after day. And someday your brain is going to say, okay, I'm done. I give up. Here's the white flag. I'm not going to bother you anymore on this issue. I'm over. I'm done. I'm laying down. And it took years, but one day it stopped. I don't even remember what it was, but
I don't remember anymore.
But it was something that just nagged her, and she just had to keep fighting it and fighting it and fighting it and fighting it. It was like, how long do I keep fighting this? And then finally, and I think a lot of people may have issues like that. Or just something that's just ungodly, that is in our old man nature, that just keeps wanting to show its head and show its head and show its head and show its head. And you keep cutting it and you keep cutting it and you keep cutting it. And you can never get tired of it. Keep cutting it. You know, it's just the way life is. Till the return, there's going to be stuff that bangs your head day after day. And another thing seems like a piece of cake. You know, some things we can handle. It's like a piece of cake and another person to fall over dead because of it. It just depends. You know, we all have different brains, how they work. I mean, they're all basically made the same, but they all have their own nuances. So, Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 5, says, "For they that are after the flesh," referring to the five senses, knowledge and things, "do mind or think about the things of the flesh. But they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is another way of referring to the five senses, the things of the earth, the things of the world, the things of this age. For to be carnally minded is death." Not so good. "But to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So let's see. We put life and peace on one hand and death on the other. Is there any difficulty in deciding which one we want? No, there's no difficulty in deciding. It's just carrying it out. The logistics of carrying it out day by day by day. Because the carnal mind is enmity. We're at war against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So when we think carnal thoughts, old man thoughts, it's not subject to the law of God. It doesn't subject itself to the law of God. It doesn't subject itself to the word of God. If we want to think devilishly about somebody, our minds aren't going to be subject to what God's will is concerning that. The way it is. Let's go to Titus chapter 1. And these are all verses that we've heard at least once. You know, we keep working God's word. And it's just something that we continue to do. We can never stop working God's word in our own lives. Because it doesn't do it on its own. Our brains have to want it and to grow in it. Titus chapter 1, verse 15. "Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled." People who think carnal thoughts or think devilish thoughts or devilish things about themselves, about others, the defiled mind, and nothing's going to be pure. Like, I don't know if you've ever been around somebody that's got extreme prejudice. I mean, there are prejudice people all around the world, and people who hate people and all that stuff. But if you've ever been around somebody that's really prejudiced, I mean, just like it's always coming out of their head or out of their mouth, nobody's good enough in whatever color or race that person doesn't like. I mean, it's just like they're nothing will be pure because their brains are so tainted they can't take godly thoughts and place them in unless they get born again and start changing their thinking. But these are people who are they're defiled, it says, and they're unbelieving. Nothing ever will be pure to them. And because their minds are full of darkness. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. And here's a wonderful set of verses. We're just going to read them. If the mind automatically changed, this chapter would never have to be in here. It's just so funny how sometimes in Christianity, it has been presented through the centuries that you got to work really hard to become a child of God. And then once you're a child of God, you're good. You don't have to do anything else. You know, they say, "I thought you were a Christian, but by what you're saying, I'm not so sure." As if all of a sudden everything's good. So here we are, chapter 3, verse 1. "For since ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, your thoughts, your desires on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, he shall also be appear with him in glory. Then shall we also appear with him in glory. Verse 5, mortify, or blow up, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And here are some of your members. These are old man characteristics. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked some time when you lived in them, but escaped death. But now ye also put off all these. Here's another set of things. Just in case you didn't have enough on your hand, here's some more. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, again, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called to one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Isn't that just great verses? But there's a lot in there. I mean, a lot in there of things that we're to remove out of our lives through the old man nature and move them out and bring in the good stuff. A lot in there. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're just to cast off all this devilish stuff. We were brought up in it, in the world. We lived in the world. And then even if we were, our parents were believers and we were raised in the Word from the moment we were born, so to speak, we all have old man nature. We all have devilish influences just because we have sin in our blood. It's not like it's only for the generation that got in the Word when they were in their 20s or the 50s. It's for all people, no matter who you are. Chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations in every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You ever try to kill a fly in the house? You know, summertime is great for getting flies. They get in the house, they, everywhere they land, you know, they're making their deposit. They're not real clean. And, you know, you see it, you hear it a lot of times first, and then you see it, and then you go to try to get it. If you miss it, then you might not know where he is in the room yet, but you can hear him. And then you're poised to get the dang thing. And, every once in a while, we get them in our bathroom. So I'll close the door so at least I'm containing them through the room instead of chasing them all over. And, you know, it's just, you're just going to get that sucker. And so we get thoughts that we recognize are not godly, and we chase that thing down and we whack it and get rid of it. We bring it into captivity. You know what I mean? That's all we do. Use the fly swatter of God's word and whack it, and then another stupid fly comes in. That's just nonstop. But that's our job, and we can never allow ourselves to get tired of doing that. It's like the guy that fell off the cliff and there was a rope there and he's holding on. And how long can you hold on? Or you get so tired, because you'll hold on at least 5 minutes because you don't want to drop, right? It's like, because so you let go. But how long can you hold on? God will never allow you to drop if you keep hanging on. He'll make sure you have the strength or get you out or bring a helicopter or something. As long as you don't let go, you've got help. Terrible analogy, I know.
No.
Chapter 6 of Romans. Chapter 6 of Romans. The first century church believers, the reason why it went into religion in due time and the Christianity went into religion and holding on to things that they shouldn't have held on to and let go of the greatness of the mystery and other things is because, they got deceived, but they got tired of changing their mind to God, what God's word said, and developed into religion. How many people do we know that at one time we knew a person, they were involved with God's word, loved it, excited and helping and doing that. Through time, they allowed themselves to get talked out of it or got tired. Now their lives are not so good. I don't want to be in that spot. Chapter 6, verse 6. Says, knowing this, that our old man is or was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The word destroyed means to, it's not that the sin is no longer in us, the sin nature. It's held unemployed, so to speak. It's like an airport strip where the strip's been all messed up that you can't land a plane or take off in a plane. It's been beat up so that it can't be utilized. The true destroying or final destroying is when we get changed into spiritual bodies. Then it's all completely gone. Right now it's held, it could be considered unemployed. How that happens is the renewed mind. So God's saying that old man has been destroyed or it's ineffective in its operative influence, but there are strings attached. Verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And this verse 11, as far as I remember, this is the first command to the church in the book of Romans. First 8 chapters deal with doctrine and stuff like this, and this is the first commandment. We are to reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin. And verse 6, it says, it's been destroyed. It's been made, rendered useless, ineffective, inoperable, if we so choose. But it's our choice as to what we're going to yield to. We're going to yield to sin, or we're going to yield to the Word of God. So, like it says in Philippians 4:16, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known unto God. Something big comes up, and you start worrying. So here's the choice. Okay, I can look at this big problem. Am I going to get through this or whatever? Or I can say what Word God says concerning that issue. I have my choice. Or something could be very scary to me that's being presented to me. I got my choice. Yield to that fear, or am I going to declare what God's word says? We're going to be challenged with things about fear all our days. Like when I was 18, I never thought about, had fear of possibly when we had children that the baby could be born with all kinds of problems. But then when you're married and you have a wife and she's pregnant, those thoughts can come into your brain. Say, oh, I wonder if it's this or that. Or fears that a younger kid would not even think about. And young kids aren't thinking about, I wonder if I'm going to get this job or not. They just don't think that way. That fear doesn't come into their head. But you could be challenged with something in your 30s that you would have never been challenged. So there's always going to be challenges of fear. And what do we declare? Do we declare what God's word says? Or do we declare what the fear is? It's a constant battle. So whatever it is that bangs our heads, that's ungodly, we just keep, bringing it captive, like it talks about in Corinthians. And a lot of work, but it does yield that peaceful fruit of righteousness. And it does, as it says in Philippians 4, it yields the peace of God in our lives. So it's nice. So we help one another to change our thinking where needed. But bottom line is between this side of the head and this side of the head, most of the work is us. You know what I mean? And that's just the way it is. The world's always going to lead us to think things contrary to God. Lead us to think of devilish things, hateful things, unrighteous things, unpeaceful things, ugly things. Well, it is. No. Sometimes Susan tells me I just am blind. I shouldn't use the word blind to people's problems. Well, it's sort of. I'm very merciful, and I really do see the best in people. I can see a lot of junk in a person, but I choose not to study that. I choose to look at what they have in Christ Jesus, and it's like living with rosy eyeglasses, you know. But it's just something that I made up my mind a long time ago. I'm just not going to think evil of people, even if they are screwed up. We all are messed up. I mean, just, so it's something I made up my mind a long time ago, and just the way it is. Stuff comes up, people prove me wrong, but I say, well, that's okay, but I'm still going to think about the other side of them. The way it is. So whatever it is in life, we just keep saying what the word says, concerning ourselves and concerning others. We have the greatest family the world has ever seen, the family of God. And if you complain about the family of God, gosh, that's the best that God's got on this earth. He's got nothing better right now. So that's the way it is. Well, anyway, it is our job to change our thinking according to what God's word says. And what a privilege that is. And thankful. And it does relieve a lot of pressure. Because most of the pressure you can't change no matter what you're doing anyway. So, not being ignorant, just I'm going to think what God's word says. It's in God's hands. So.